insight into the Lockbit gang's leader and an AMD security patch disables CPU cores. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Cadlin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 18th of January, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Airlock Digital. In today's top story, Google says that malware operations are increasingly using SEO poisoning and malicious ads to lure users to malware or phishing sites. Over the past few months, malware such as Gootkit, Iced ID, Batloader, Private Loader, Nullmixer, Redline, Radamanthes, Vidar Stealer, and others have all switched to abusing Google's search engine and advertising platform to infect users. Previously, they were using email-based delivery to spread their malware. Security researchers have attributed the shift to a couple of factors, like improved email security solutions, the low cost of running an SEO poisoning campaign, and the advanced user targeting capabilities that allow cybercrime gangs to go after specific user groups, such as cryptocurrency users or users on specific platforms. Making matters worse, security researchers investigating these campaigns and companies that have had their brands abused say they've found it difficult to get Google to remove the malicious content from search results. In other news, a joint report authored by three Ukrainian government agencies and a local think tank has found a clear connection between cyber attacks, conventional attacks, and information attacks carried out by Russia during the past year. The reports echo the conclusion of three Microsoft reports from last year that also claimed there was some sort of coordination between Russian kinetic military operations and its cyber operations. Ukrainian officials claim that while coordination is widespread, it's not an absolute constant rule under Russia's operations. Several cybersecurity and military experts have previously questioned the idea that extended and intentional coordination is taking place, citing a lack of clear evidence of coordination. Citizen Lab says it's received documents from a whistleblower detailing the Iranian government's efforts to implement state-controlled surveillance capabilities inside the networks of local mobile operators, including capabilities that would give the government full access to many back-end systems. The capability would allegedly include government access to billing systems, SIM management and traffic, call and SMS history. The documents cover the period from 2018 to 2021, and Citizen Lab says the system was being built using technology acquired from foreign companies, such as Russian company Protai, UK-based Telensol, and Canadian company Porter One. Citizen Lab says it's unclear if this system has been built or deployed. Threat intelligence company Analyst One has spent a year undercover interacting with the Lockbit ransomware gang and its leader, who uses the handle LockbitSup. The Lockbit gang began operations in 2019 and dominated in 2022, becoming the largest and most active ransomware group. However, despite its success last year, Analyst One researcher John DiMaggio says that the gang's leader is slowly chipping away at the gang's own reputation by antagonizing the cybercrime underground on forums. The company's report on Lockbit and its leader is a terrific read, and there's a link to it on our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. North Korean hackers have laundered more than $63.5 million worth of cryptocurrency from funds stolen from the Harmony Bridge platform in June last year. The stolen funds were laundered and then deposited in accounts at cryptocurrency platforms Binance, Huobi, and OKX, according to a blockchain investigator known as Zach XBT. The Binance and Huobi platforms reacted and froze a small portion of the funds, worth around $2.5 million, but the bulk of the stolen funds remain under the hackers' control. The Harmony Bridge heist, valued at around $100 million worth of crypto assets, is believed to have been carried out by Lazarus Group, a group of government-backed North Korean hackers. Chipmaker AMD has released firmware updates to fix a set of vulnerabilities found in the secure components of its CPU models. The vulnerabilities impact components like the AMD Secure Processor and the AMD System Management Unit, and can allow threat actors to compromise boot process and hijack operating systems. AMD says the vulnerabilities were found following a security audit. Tens of AMD CPU models are vulnerable, including many of the company's high-end models. The firmware patches were delivered as updates to AGISA and AMD library included in motherboard BIOS code. Unfortunately, the update appears to be causing issues on some CPU models, with several users reporting that the update has disabled some of their cores, effectively reducing their CPU's processing power. Almost 60 million compromised payment card records were posted for sale across dark web carding shops in 2022, according to Recorded Future's annual report on the payment card fraud landscape. Recorded Future says the number is down from the 96 million payment card records that were posted for sale in 2021. Several companies have recently had their online shops hacked after they reversed the effects of a security patch for their Magento and Adobe commerce stores. Sansec, a company that specializes in securing online stores, says the incidents are related to a security vulnerability in Magento that was patched in February 2022. The patch fixed a vulnerability that allowed threat actors to abuse the store's emailing template feature to place malicious orders. Attacks exploiting this vulnerability began at scale in November 2022, after threat actors created an exploit and sold it on underground forums. And as it turns out, some sites that initially applied the patch later manually re-enabled the email template feature, and this has made them vulnerable again to the bug that was patched almost a year ago. Security firm Volncheck says that 99% of all internet-connected Sophos firewalls have still not been updated to address a zero-day that was fixed last September. Even worse, Volncheck says that about 4,000 of these 78,000 internet-connected Sophos firewalls are too old to be patched for the same zero-day, meaning thousands of systems will remain exposed to attacks. Volncheck says the only thing that appears to be keeping these systems safe is the lack of a public exploit that would very likely trigger a wave of mass exploitation. The CVE for this bug is tracked as CVE-2022-3236. Norwegian IT company DNV has confirmed that the cybersecurity incident that forced it to shut down its ship manager's smart fleet management platform last week was a ransomware attack. The company says the incident impacted 70 of its 300 customers and that the ship manager platform was down for 1,000 vessels. 7,000 ships are managed via the software. DNV says it's still working to restore service and that vessels can still use their onboard ship manager software in offline mode. And we'll finish with some good news today. Avast has released a free decryptor for the Bian Lian ransomware after its researchers identified a flaw in the malware's encryption routine. The ransomware was first spotted in August 2022 and was used primarily in targeted attacks against enterprises. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham, who, based on recent feedback on their own product, explains why security products need to focus more on usability and simplicity rather than feature complexity.
This week at Airlock Digital is Product Roadmap Review, where we go through all of the feedback that our customers have provided since our last release. And one of the things that's great about getting feedback on a security platform is that we get an insight into what the pressures our customers are facing. And after having reviewed over about 300 items of feedback, the key themes that cut through is not that I need X, Y, or Z feature for more breadth security, it's that I don't have enough time. 90% of our customers are saying, enable me to do my job faster, and that's a theme that will continue throughout 2023. This isn't to suggest that Airlock is a difficult tool to use, it's actually quite the contrary. Our core value proposition is security, simplicity, and speed, but there are always ways that we can improve. But it really strikes me that with squeezing budgets and greater pressure on people, in my opinion, through 2023, the tools that will add the greatest value to customers are going to be the ones that deliver on that core value proposition with the least amount of friction. As the threat landscape with ransomware is spooking boardrooms across the world, demand for expertise in the security industry is only continuing to increase, and it's extremely scarce. Ultimately, my point here is, if you're evaluating a security tool on the market, feature set and efficacy are extremely important, but also ensure that usability and simplicity are considered, as human time is the greatest total cost of ownership.
And that was David Cottingham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com.